Can't hear you, John, if you're talking.
Okay, thank you. I guess I didn't hit my mic open. All right, well, welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, August 10th, 2026. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening in over Rumble or YouTube and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on a weekly call for instructions to join us live by phone, app, or browser. If anybody would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right side of a website of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Consider taking our 90-hour court access in the common law course. You can find the link on our front page and in the description below. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right side of our website. You can also join our Bible studies every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time right here in the Start Reading Room. Okay, tonight's scripture reading, is going to be the Sermon on the Mount, first chapter. You know, Sermon on the Mount is chapter 5, 6, and 7. We're going to play chapter 5 tonight. Let me see if we got to open up a Bible so we can read along with it. Okay. All right, Matthew chapter 5, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Reka, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. It hath been said, Whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Again ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Ye have heard that it hath been said, An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him thy other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor, and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect.
Okay, Jan, do we have any questions or announcements to make?
We have two questions. The first one has three different parts. They concern land patents. Do you want me to put all three out at once?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I don't know too much about land patents, but we do have, I think we have some information up on our website on that. But right. Anyway, go ahead, read the questions and we'll see how I can respond.
Okay, I have a couple of questions about the updated land patent we filed with Leavenworth County between 2013 and 2015. I was told that the president has to sign our land patent in order to be honored by any county or sheriff. First question, do you happen to know the history about updating land patents? Second question, are you able to contact President Trump by any chance by address or by other means? Third, do you happen to have President Trump's contact address so that we can send him our land patent to sign? Thank you for any wisdom in all you do.
Okay, I'm just quick looking. Here's some information here on land patent. I don't know much about it. I haven't looked too much into it. And I'll tell you what, I don't think it's really necessary to go through the process of a land patent. I mean, and I believe that really is just defining the land in itself, and that's already done, really. You know, the marks of lines of the property. And I think the key thing, the question is what are you looking to do a land patent for? And I presume it's to try to pull it out of the tax process. You know, if they tax your home, you don't own it. You're enslaved to the government because, again, they're going to take it away from you if you don't tax your home. You know, there is a battle to be made in that, and the best that could happen is you could put it off for quite a few years in that battle in the courts because they really can't take your property away lawfully. And they do sneaky things. You know, really, if you're trying to get out of the tax system, I think it's really a process of changing the title of what the property is and call it private property. Because right now, you know, you're set up as, there's a few different things. It could be a commercial property. I forget the names of some of the other things, but if you put it into private property, and then go down and try to remove it off the tax rolls. That's very difficult to do. It's very difficult to do anything even with the land patent. I'm not aware of anybody that has any success in this, but I do know that Trump is trying to move us over to, you know, back to the Constitution. And property tax is clearly unlawful and unconstitutional, just like income tax is unlawful. Unconstitutional. Any tax that you can't escape from is unlawful. You know, sales tax is a lawful tax, not when it's applied on food or clothing. You know, unfortunately, most places do apply tax on clothing. I know here in New York, they play a game with the taxes by. You have to buy your paper bags. It's a tax on paper bags. So it used to be a nickel when they started out, and within 6 or 9 months, they made it a dime. And then after that, at some point, if you get 3, 4, 5 bags, then they charge you tax on top of that. I mean, that's here in New York. It's really ridiculous. But anyway, I think all of that is going to be gone soon. I don't think it's going to be around very much. You know, there's some talk, you know, there's always been a little talk in the background about the IRS, and the IRS has got to go. And I know Trump has brought it up a couple occasions, made some statements here or there. His intentions is to get rid of the IRS, but there's more that needs to be done in the economy before that happens. I'm hoping that the economy is going to be repaired and fixed by the end of this year. And then once the economy is set forth, gas prices will be brought down low once that happens, and when gas prices fall, everything's going to fall. And at that point, we're going to have a lot of opportunity. And I think at that point is when we probably will work to get rid of the IRS, and land taxes are going to have to go with it. So we'll see what happens. But again, I've never looked into it. Let me just open this up. What do you need to know about land patents? And again, I think it, in my opinion, it's a waste of time trying to spend time because, first of all, it's going to be very difficult to get anywhere with these people. But, you know, and again, I think it's going to be gone soon because it's an unlawful tax. Now, as far as getting a hold of Trump, I mean, Trump is a very difficult person to get a hold of. You're not going to get a response from him. I mean, it has to be a very unique situation. We have been communicating with Trump for, goodness, quite some time now, for a couple of years. Not that he has communicated back to us, but we have communicated to him from the perspective of the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. We've done some presentments. We've done a presentment to Trump and his administration quite some time ago. We've done the presentments to the United States Supreme Court. And we've also copied Trump and his administration on those papers. We've sent Trump and his administration the copy of the book, Government by Consent. Now, again, they have not communicated back to us, but our idea or purpose really is to educate them. And they may already be educated in the areas that we're trying to get. Maybe there's something that they're not educated in. You know, common law is a difficult thing to see from the lawyer's perspective, because they're so sold on the belief that we're under civil law. And the key to repair our nation, really, is to move back to the common law, and that's our primary goal as far as working in the courts, is to bring our court system back to laws of courts of justice again and resurrect the common law, which is also referred to as natural law. And it's also called the law of the land. Again, and by the way, you know, we are refiling our papers, and this might be a good time to make note that we still haven't got enough money to make the filings. We don't need a lot. I think we got about $380 so far. We're going to need about $1,000. And so anybody that can afford to give us a few dollars, even if it's $5, $10, $20, I mean, whatever it could be, some people can afford to give us 100 or more. But again, you know, until we get enough money to do it, we're not going to be able to send it out. We're rewriting the papers in a little bit of a different way. Once I get that done, we'll probably just review it. We have read the most important part of the papers, which is the first 18 pages. And, you know, we'll probably do a little bit of a review one Monday once we put it together. It's not going to take long for me to put the papers together because it's pretty much really done. Only going to add a couple of sentences to it, maybe a small paragraph. And the big thing is to reformat it and redirect it. We found another way to try to get our papers before the justices of the Supreme Court. The doorkeepers keep blocking us. And I've spoken to other people that have tried to get things into the Supreme Court, and they're blocked. But we are coming in quite uniquely from a standpoint of being the unified United States common law grand jury. And they do respond to us as the grand jury, but without the respect. And our focus, really, what they've done, these doorkeepers, have broken many, many laws by preventing our papers from going through. But that's a discussion we'll have, or some information we'll talk about once we get the papers reformatted, add that extra paragraph and read it. I hope we can do that next Monday. But again, until we get enough funds to be able to go through the process, you know, one of the things is we're not just, you know, we have to send two copies. Our papers are just under 200 pages, and we have to double space them and go into a certain format that they want. They have to be bound, and they have to go two copies for every justice. We're only looking to file with six of the justices. You know, if we get enough money, maybe we'll file to all of it, all the justices, who knows. But, you know, six of them are worth filing to, the other four, not so much. The three particularly. The other thing is we copy everything to Trump and his administration, which is approximately 40 individuals, and so it gets quite expensive in the printing, the paper, the toner, and the mailing. And so, again, $1,000 is not really a lot of money when you think about filing papers in the court. Lawyers will charge you a small fortune to do that. They won't even address the Supreme Court without a payment down on probably around $40,000, $50,000, maybe even a lot more than that. And I would imagine a lot more than that. Lawyers are in it for the money. They don't care about anything else but the money. That's the problem. So, anyway, anybody who can give, be appreciated. When you go out to donate, when you're coming out of the, you know, once you're going to submit the money, there's a place for a comment, and you can put into the comment area there for the Supreme Court filing. All right, with that, is anything else, Jen? Any other questions or anything to announce?
Yes, we have one more. It's more of a statement than a question, but it does need answering. It says, I have been trying to contact a representative for Florida, specifically my county of Osceola. And by this, the woman means the NLA representative, not her state or whatever. There seems to be no activity and no response to anyone wanting to know more information on all the things listed on your website. I still get your emails, read the meetings, but nothing else. Is this program still active or not? I would really appreciate a response because I have referred people to you and they come back saying the same thing I just listed above. No one is manning the website. Thank you in advance for your help. Respectfully, Nellie.
All right. Well, if you're trying to get a hold of our leadership for the districts, we have 10 district leaders, but they're not really doing much of anything. And unfortunately, only a few of them will answer the phone. Jan takes on a lot of stuff, and he responds. Sometimes it may take a day or two, but he responds. And I know I received something today, and I responded for somebody. It's difficult for me to be the individual to respond to a lot of things. I'm busy doing too many things, but from time to time I do. When you send information or a question or something, and you want to try to get some info and a response, you can try sending it to mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org, and someone will get back to you. You know, we have 190 committees of safety in process. I don't know how many of them are actually active. And one of the things we need to do, you see, the problem is that this is not a professional organization. We're all volunteers. And we do need to go professional. We need to do this to pay people to actually do work. But until we reach critical mass, which should produce enough money to do that at critical mass, or someone with deep pockets recognizes the work and decides to give us some funding in order to go to the point of being a professional process, a professional organization, we need to communicate with all of these committees of safety, but we just don't have the people. If anybody wants to volunteer and participate with that, the ideal thing is someone who's retired and is interested in the Patriot movement and wants to spend time and really work to help us, put in a few hours a week or a couple hours a day or whatever they can do. If we get enough people volunteering for a while, that maybe if they put in maybe an hour or two on the phones, maybe a couple of times a week, and collectively we might be able to get things going. We need to build what's called a committee of correspondence. Each committee of safety has a committee of correspondence, so they're supposed to establish a committee of correspondence, which is the contact individual. And their job ultimately is to communicate with other counties, the sister counties around them, and other counties throughout the state. And also with National Liberty Alliance. So we need to have a committee of safety, a committee of correspondence, even with National Liberty Alliance, where we can follow up on these people. And, once we make contact with them, connect with them every so often, we need to make a plan. I did write a plan for this. I'm going to look to see where that's at. I know I wrote it quite some time ago on what that contact information and what would be communicated and, sort of a handbook for that purpose. We wrote a handbook, of course, for creating the committees of safety. And as a matter of fact, we wrote quite a few handbooks for different things like that. So until we can get to that point, it's very difficult to really get people that are going to do what needs to be done. Once you hire a person, you pay them. They either work or they get fired. It's that simple. And we'd like to get people full-time doing these things, If we can get maybe about 12 people, maybe 15 people that are working, professionally, getting paid 40 hours a week, producing, communicating, then things could go much, much better than what they're going now. We're always asking people to kind of get the word out of what we're doing here at National Liberty Alliance. People get involved with different social medias. They should be talking about us and what we're doing here. They should be sharing some of our paperwork and information, our books, our course. We have that. We have lots of courses. We have about 5 or 6 courses. Most of them are free. A couple of them we ask people to be premier members in order to get to a couple of them. But even with that, if someone is really that bad that they just don't have that $5, we'll let them in for free anyway to the courses. Because the whole purpose of National Liberty Alliance really is to educate people. So it's up to the people to really make this work. It's up to the people to assist us in any way they can. You know, we have a flyer out on our front page. People could, get a hold of that flyer and pass that out in different various places. We have lots of information on how to, again, create a committee of safety, how to run the committee of safety, lots of videos and different PowerPoints in order to introduce the committee of safety, either to an existing group somewhere to try to get them to join in, and even to call, at the regular meetings. There are different things that need to be taught to people. They need to know the basics of certain things. And we've created a lot of PowerPoints for that. And we've also created PowerPoint videos, so people can just play the PowerPoint video if they don't want to, articulate the PowerPoint. But by articulating the PowerPoint, it gives you the option to add little things here and there. Every committee of safety is free and independent. We don't give people any marching orders, nor do we ever desire to give people marching orders. But we do want them to communicate with us so that we can assist them, educate them, and help them to create a committee of safety that works to be able to interlock or communicate with other committees of safety. We have to be kind of structured the same way. You have to get your resolutions going, and you have to get a charter going. We've drawn up the framework for that. And by the way, all this information I'm talking about is found under Starter Committee of Safety right here for those who can see the front page. You click on the blue bar, Starter Committee of Safety, or you come down to the handbooks, videos, and tools. If you click on just Starter Committee of Safety, it's sort of a breadcrumb trail will lead you to the where you really need to be. And here's where all the tools are here at the handbooks, documents, videos, PowerPoints for your Committee of Safety meeting. You know, if you find gun clubs or any kind of an organization, a Patriots organization within your counties, you know, we have PowerPoints that you can go and introduce to these people, National Liberty Alliance. It's a matter of, just kind of reaching out to the leadership of that group, whatever it may be, and, talk with them about what we're doing and see if you can't come in and offer to the people this education and the opportunity to have government by consent to the people by exercising their unalienable right as committees of safety. You know, united we stand, divided we fall. One person can't do it. We need to organize. The enemy is very well organized. That's why they get where they're getting. But they're also very well funded. And so that, of course, is one of the key things, being funded. Just looking at this page here, handbooks, documents, and so on, what we suggest to do, we have a series of videos, they're PowerPoint videos, and pretty short, half hour, maybe 20 minutes, some of them. And for instance, one of us is presenting government by consent. Once the committee is starting to come together, then we have one committee of safety charter, putting together a charter together. We also have a handbook on information to teach those things. We have committee of safety resolutions, which we have a bunch of resolutions that we put together as a framework that I think are very logical. I don't think anybody would make any argument against those things. But it's the framework to begin resolutions, because every county is unique in their own way, have their own particular problems or way to deal with a situation, and you'll start adding a lot of things to your resolutions. We also teach you how to meet the sheriff, what the process is, the best way to educate the sheriff, get the sheriff on board. And if the sheriff is not interested, then you do a recall. We teach people how to recall a sheriff, take them out of power, and force another election. We have the education committee. We talk about that, and that's an extremely important committee, trying to push all of the people and lead them into a proper education. Some people in the education committee should be in the process of really learning everything they can that we have up here. But, you know, again, everybody in the Committee of Safety should have at least some education. And so there's certain things that are fundamental that people really should need. And the Education Committee, it's their job to make sure that happens. And also to lead the people that are coming in at a later time that haven't seen these videos in the beginning, you know, to let them know that they should review these particular videos. And they can be discussed at the meeting. We have the political committee, we lay that out, and then we have a whole bunch of stuff, PowerPoints, videos, Word, PDFs, instructional documents, how to run a committee of safety seminar through videos and or PowerPoint videos. So you can do your own PowerPoint. You know, we provide all of that. All of this is already up on the website, ready to go. But it's up to the people. Only the people can save America. Donald Trump can't save America. He can bring us back and make things right again. But if the people don't step up and take control and protect the Constitution, you know, because the government will never do that. As time goes on, we'll only end up back to where we belong. You know, Thomas Jefferson said, if the people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. It doesn't exist. The Constitution is not going to defend itself. And trust me, the government is not going to defend the Constitution. As time goes on, it just gets worse and worse, until the point of destruction when we, you know, we just lose everything. And we're at that point recently. But Trump, thank God, has been in power and is moving things back. He's doing a lot of work to bring our nation back to where we belong. There are a couple of problems with the people around him. He's got a lot of lawyers around him. Most people in power are lawyers. And they're very difficult people to deal with in order to communicate to them, you know, what kind of law we're really under. They don't understand common law. Some lawyers actually believe, well, we got rid of common law. And they did. They did get rid. They abrogated common law through the Rules Enabling Act. So that took place. The Rules Enabling Act was 1934, and the Supreme Court executed it in 1938. And at that point in time, it took away all the writs of the sovereign. They don't exist no more. There's about five of them. Writ of error was one of them. And you don't have that power authority anymore. That was the power of going into a court with authority, with a writ of error. And there's many other writs. Like I said, there's about five of them. But they've discarded them. And they actually abrogated the common law right there in their rules. They also got rid of the rules of the common law and replaced them with their own rules. And then every court seems to write their own rules. And it just goes on and on and on and on. The question is, how did they get away with all this? Well, the answer is quite simple. The people are not educated in the areas to understand and see the destruction of their nation happening around them, because they don't understand the Constitution themselves. They don't know the Constitution. The people in power don't seem to know the Constitution, or they don't care about it. Most of what Congress does is unlawful. They do some good work, but it's mostly unlawful these days anyway. But we do have and statutes are written for them to control the government agencies, to control the agents of those government agencies, to control commercial activities, to make sure that people aren't abused by those commercial activities. So, again, without an education, we're just sitting ducks, and without people stepping up to exercise their unalienable right of government by consent, we're just sitting ducks. They'll continue to do whatever they want to do. No matter what is addressed and repaired by Trump's administration, it'll be gone not long after, unless it is maintenanced. And it's got to be maintenanced by the people. You know, there's this big movement with socialists and communism, and if you're listening to see what's going on and how big this really is, it's a really big, big problem. And you know, people should be frightened to death seeing what's going on. But Trump does talk about this, And he's been talking about this for a long time. He talked about this even before he came into power here in his second term. But he's going to annihilate this whole thing. Because, you see, anybody in power took an oath to the Constitution. And they're there to protect this nation against enemies, foreign and domestic. And any communist in power trying to move us into a communist position or social, any kind of a really a different kind of a government, even a democracy, okay, as strange as that may sound, even a democracy, okay, well, that's a violation of the Constitution. They took an oath to guarantee to us a Republican form of government, not a democratic form of government, not a socialist form of government, not a communist form of government. As a matter of fact, pushing those other issues from authority is a crime, and the penalty is jail and fines. And some of these jail sentences can get quite hefty depending on, you know, the extent and what's really going on. But we are in big trouble. I do believe Trump's going to be successful in cleaning it up. It's going to get a little sketchy, I think, around election time, because this is their final time. Either they got to cheat and get enough people into power to be able to try to do what they need to do, or if they don't win, and they're not going to win, I do believe it's going to be a landslide across the nation, we're going to see violence in the street. It's going to be cut short. Matter of fact, Q had mentioned on numerous occasions when the violence falls into the street, it's expected. Stay out of it and let the military handle it. So they're prepared for that. But the problem is, again, these people don't know. You know, to get common law back into the courts, we have to deal with bar attorneys. The whole system is controlled by the bar. The bar controls our courts, it controls our education, it controls our economic system. You know, Trump is breaking those ties one by one by one. But it'll be a matter of time of going back if the people don't step up and take control of their government. You must have government by consent, and government by consent to the people means you have to be involved. Government by consent means you have to be educated. We should have been educated in school. But we weren't educated in school, not properly. And we need to make sure our children are educated in school. So we have to spend time to get educated, to understand how things really work, due process in the court, and how things work politically. You know, we teach how things work politically. We have a book on the committee man himself, which is really dealing with the political process, putting people into power, taking people out of power. You know, we can remove, you get enough people going, you get 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 people in a county working, boy, you can really start to take control of things, okay? Because you could do what's called recall, and filing petitions to pull these people out of office that are not being obedient to us. You know, you go to a school board, and I just saw recently a school board, I think it was a school board meeting, and it was really, you know, you couldn't even, it was standing room only. And it went even outside the doors, and the people in one accord wanted what they wanted. And at the end of the day, when they finished with this whole, thing, they did what they want anyway. They ignored the people. Well, we can remove them from power. We can actually remove boards, people on the boards from power within a week. Okay, there is a process for that. But the people are ignorant. They don't know about it. They don't know how to do it. They don't know how to remove people from power. People think that all they have to do is vote, that that's doing their duty. No, not at all. And we know the whole thing is a scam anyway. And that's why Trump's trying to fix that part. But it really shouldn't matter who's in power if the people are in control. If we have committees of safety in, let's say, two-thirds of the counties and growing, we'd have 100% control of our government. We'd be able to take people out in a heartbeat, remove them from power and replace them. And again, we teach all these things. But it's up to the people to, again, educate themselves. You should be spending a couple hours a week whenever you can. Get yourself an education, a real education. You should know due process. You should understand the courts. One day you'll find yourself in court, and you'll have to go spend $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $100,000 on a lawyer to win a case that you can win yourself. Because due process in a court is a very simple process. It seems kind of complicated in the beginning as you start your studies, but once you go through the process and you finally click to get that picture on what's really going on and what due process is and how a court of law should work, which is a court of common law, natural law, which operates under common sense, because common law is nothing but common sense. That's it. It's nothing more than that. And they took that away. And our government does not operate under common sense. And they operate by party bosses. Another problem that the lawyers built is the two-party system and put them into a statutory process and made put them under control with the party bosses. And that's why we have the problems. When I talk to people and say, hey, we're going to get rid of parties, they think that's crazy. How can we operate? Well, look, at you know, if you get rid of parties, people go to, whether it's in going to Washington or even to their own state, okay, as legislators, when they go as legislators, if there's no party boss to lead them around like a ring in the nose, well, might as well represent the people. That's what we sent them there for. They shouldn't be representing or participating in a party boss. No, they should go there and make their votes representing the people who sent them there. And if they're not representing you, take them out of power. Remove them. Do a recall. But again, if the people are not willing to do these things, then we get nowhere. And so it starts with an education, a couple hours a week, more if possible. I strongly suggest people take the common law court course, which is, and again, you know, go under education starts here. And you can see all our courses right here. There's a foundation study. It's free. Constitutional course 101 introduction. It's free. Civics course. It's free. We have a militia course. It's free. We have a jury administrator accredited course, which you need to be a premier member. That's $5 a month or more. And we have a government by consent course, which, again, you need to be a premier member, $5 a month or more. If you can't afford the $5, we'll open it up for you anyway. We'll get you in for free. We need people to get educated. We need to save the nation. Because when you send people to Washington or to your capital of your state, very quickly they're turned over to operate against the people and not for the people. But we have to control them. You know, we have to chain them down. We have to chain them down with the chains of the Constitution, which is what Jefferson spoke about. But people aren't doing that. It also requires to go to a meeting once a month, a committee of safety meeting, which may be run an hour and a half, 2 hours, on whatever evening you want to do it in. But then you have work, you know. You from a committee of safety, you'd be given something, maybe making some phone calls or preparing some paperwork or doing something. So maybe you got to do a little work, an hour or two a month, or maybe 3 hours a month, to fulfill what you have to fulfill, so when you come to the next meeting, people are fulfilling whatever it is that they're fulfilling and whatever committees they're in, and then they, you know, and you grow and you become more powerful. You know, the best way to build the greatest committees of safety, to really enlarge them very quickly, is to get enough people, you know, maybe at least 20 people together at first, maybe more, hopefully, but get at least 20 people. And then we have a process by going to the schools and within the districts, within the different districts within your county. I think in my county we have something like 18 or 19 educational districts. So at each one of them, boy, the number of people you can pull in to get involved with the Committee of Safety every time you go to one of these school board meetings and exercise the power and the authority of the people, and the people see that power, they see that authority, they see the work that's going on, they're frustrated because that's why they're there. They're tired of their children being demoralized, and they're creating communists in our schools. We're going up against our children. People need to wake up. They don't even say, in most schools, from what I'm hearing, they don't even say the Pledge of Allegiance anymore. You know, a Pledge of Allegiance is an oath. You're pledging allegiance to the flag and to the republic for which it stands. You are pledging that allegiance. You are taking an oath. When I went to school, I took that oath five times a week for my entire time in school. Every year, five times, we said the Pledge of Allegiance when I was a kid. We also said a prayer. God and country, that's it. And ultimately, they need to work together. But, you know, if the people are too lazy, or they think the other guy's doing it, I'm here to tell you the other guy's not doing it. That's why we have a complaint like we have, which really provoked this particular conversation that we're having. It's not our fault. It's your fault. It's the people's fault. Because they're not getting involved. We need help. Give us some help. Volunteer. Send an email to Jan. Tell him what you can do. Give him your name, your phone number, he'll get your email when you send the email. And say, I'd like to help out. This is what I can do. This is what I might be able to do. I'd like to help. I don't know what to do. Whatever it is, volunteer. Get involved. We'll put you to work. And you'll answer the phones. And we'll make communications with all the other committees of safety throughout the nations that is in process already. And we'll build more committees of safety. We'll encourage them. We'll educate them. We'll lead them to the proper places. Because committees of safety, if they're not active, they fall apart. You know, when we started National Liberty Alliance, and actually before we even started National Liberty Alliance, we go back to the Tea Party days, and we went to the committee man, and we didn't know too much about them. We learned a lot about the committee man, discovered that they're captured people run by party bosses. The votes don't really count. They make the votes up. And every county is controlled by 4 to 5 individuals, and every state is controlled by 4 or 5 individuals, and that's what we have. They're called party bosses, you know. It's up to the people to fix this problem. It's up to the people to help. It's up to the people to support. We need money. We've been waiting now 3 weeks, I think, maybe 4 weeks, asking for money, so that we can send these papers to the Supreme Court and copies to the administration, Trump, of course, the main part, but getting to this entire administration, and it's a measly $1,000, and we can't even collect $1,000, you know? So, look, if the people want liberty, if the people want to be free, if the people want to have a government that they control, if people want their schools to be teaching children the right things, to teach them to be patriots, to teach them how the court system works, to teach them the problems and how to fix these problems, to teach them how to think and not what to think. If that's what you want, you got to support it. You got to give money and you got to give time. And if you can't give money, at least give your time. But everybody can afford $5 a month. Everybody. Do you know we have enough membership? If all of our members, we have over 10,000 members. If all our members were to give $5 a month, we'd go professional. We'd be able to pay salaries. We'd put people to work. We'd get the job done. And we'd grow in leaps and bounds. We would force it into critical mass. But that's not happening. So, you know, I hate to get the complaints like this because I feel bad about it. But people need to do it. People need to get involved. I don't know what else to tell you on that. And if we don't protect our Constitution, we don't deserve it. They are working night and day to get rid of our Constitution. They're even talking about it. They want to get rid of Congress. They want to get rid of the presidency. These people are insane. But you know what? Our children are lost. There seems to be a lot of people involved in this thing. What are we doing here? We're not countering these things. We expect someone else to do. We expect Trump to do. We expect his administration to do. We expect other people to do it. No, you got to do it. Do not think that there are people doing it, because I'm here to tell you, I'm right there in the middle. I see what's going on, and I'm telling you the people are not doing it. There's only a handful of people. But everyone else figures, it's someone else. I'm too busy. Stop texting for a while. Stop going to social meetings for a while on your computer. Put your smart, stupid phones away for a while and spend some time reading, spend some time learning, spend some time educating, spend some time creating a committee of safety, going out and talking to the people in your community, get them involved, take back the schools, take back your government, start locally and work your way up. Because everybody has a control over someone in Congress, it's called your congressman and your senator. You have control over those people. In your counties, get together and take control of them. So, no education, no liberty. You know, our heritage is in the common law. Our inheritance is liberty. And if you don't know the common law, you'll never have liberty. All right, anyway, hopefully there are people in the queue. Let's see if there's anyone in the queue. Yeah, we have a few people in the queue, so we're going to go in the queue in a minute or two. Jan, we're finished, right? I guess there's nothing else, so we'll go over to the queue. Let me just go back to the attendees. Hang on a minute. Let me see here. John, I'm going to unmute you, so if you want to pipe in on things, but keep your mic muted. Right now we can hear some. Okay, it looks like you muted your mic now. Yeah, if you want to pipe in on anything, feel free to do so. Okay, we'll take our first caller. Let me get into the queue myself. Yeah, mute your mic, John. Okay, let's see. All right, we'll take our first caller. Anybody wants to get into the queue, it's a *6 and 1 if you're on a phone. And if you're on an app or a browser, there should be a button there to get into it. People should really try to come in with an app or a browser. You could do that off your smartphone if you want. I call them stupid phones because it makes people dumb, in my opinion. People are so involved in tweeting, they can't read anymore. They don't want to read. I don't know what it is. I spend too much time on it. That's why I don't have a smartphone. I'll never have a smartphone. If I was in business, I definitely would have a smartphone, but only to execute my business. But I'm retired from that. So anyway, anybody wants to get into the queue, *6 and 1 if you're on a phone, and button there in your app or your browser if you're on that. People should be coming in with an app or browser so they can see the desktop here. When we talk sometimes, we put things out there, and we put a lot of little things out there just this evening as we're talking. Okay, we'll take our first caller here. We only got 3 people in the queue, so people can get in now. Let's see, Frank. You got the mic. Well, what state you from, Frank?
New Jersey, Maumee County.
New Jersey.
Okay, so I'm gonna mail a check to 3979 Albany Post Road, is it? Suite 1017?
Yeah, that's correct. If people want to not use a credit card, but they want to mail a check or a money order, if you click on the Donation Now tab here up in the top right side, you'll get our address here. Where you can donate by check or money order, make checks payable to NLA or National Liberty Alliance. Either way, you can write it out. But our address is right here on this page, National Liberty Alliance, 3979 Albany Post Road, Suite 107, Hyde Park, New York, 12538.
I want to do it through the account online. It went through, but it didn't ask for a credit card. So then... So again, we're doing some stuff in New Jersey.
Fax here that you see, I got rid of that, and I do have another fax. I got to put a new fax number up. I'll try to do that tomorrow, just so people know if they try to send a fax for some reason. Wait a day or two, and I'll update that. All right, Frank, go right ahead.
So I just wanted to point out. Remember, in 2008, Proposition 8 with California, that the voters voted for. To ban same-sex marriage. But then the courts, because that's not their agenda, said they couldn't do it. It violated due process and equal protection laws. So I just want to point out that even when people do things through the Constitution, depending on the court and which way the wind's blowing, it's still going to be unconstitutional. But also, you can't pass a constitutional amendment, and you can't pass a law that violates a right. Natural rights are natural rights. They can't be legislated away. But they're acting like same-sex marriage is a natural right. But that's a short topic. I just wanted to share that. And the other thing I wanted to bring up was that Mitch Vexler, a developer of Mockingbird Properties in Texas, he's suing and he's building a case about property tax fraud. And I had brought up last year on here how I was doing my property tax appeal. And they say in our state constitution, oh, you can't argue the tax. You can only argue the assessment. Well, we all know that the assessments that have to be based on market data and, you know, comp values, okay, we know that that's really, if they don't get what they want, they're going to raise it because they're looking to get that 5 or 8 or 10 grand out of you. So I'm able to prove that with what I went through, that there was property tax fraud. And I'm going to link up with this Mitch Vexler and see if I could work together and share him. I also, again, emailed you and Jan. I had emailed you guys a week or two ago to help, and I was on the thing. So I'm going to send you some money, and I'm also able to help and make phone calls, but I didn't get a response back. So I'm just giving you a heads up on that. And
Did you send anything to Jan or to mail? Where did you send
it? I did Jan, I did you, and then I just did it again with mail. I did all three.
Okay, well, what we'll try to do is collect people who want to do some work, and we'll have a special meeting during the week or sometime. And then once we do the first one, maybe we'll do it once a month or something. But we'll get a lot of people that together and do it all at one time because you know, those of us who are working, keeping things going, we're very busy. And you know, I don't answer a lot of stuff. I kind of count on others. You know, the mail goes to a group of people. I forget how many, maybe about 7 people or so, when you send to mail at nationallibertyalliance.org. But we'll get back to you and do something. Again, we need to get organized with people getting involved and doing something to really help us grow and to ultimately, at the end of the day, save the republic. But I'd like to respond to what you were talking about concerning the judges, concerning same-sex marriage. Look, these people are out of control. They're in what's called bad behavior, okay? Bad behavior means they can be removed from office, okay? Bad behavior is upholding things that are not constitutional. Bad behavior, very specifically, is violating the Constitution, not honoring your oath. That's bad behavior. And they could be removed by Congress. The problem, but actually, you know, judges on the federal level has to be removed by the Senate. And you see what's going on there. That's why we need to get enough people into the Senate. That's why we have to get the vote, an honest vote going. And Trump's going to get that going, and it's going to get done before this election. You'll see. He's got a plan going. And then we've got to get the SAFE Act out there and get that going. And we have to clean up the nation and get rid of all these people that don't belong here. We have to put these people in jail that are not honoring their oath and violating their oath by trying to use, by getting elected and trying to use their powers in order to change us to something else. And let me tell you something that, and I started to talk about this, that may be a little crazy to people, but it's not crazy at all. You know, the purpose of the Democratic Party, the whole purpose has always been to turn us back into a democracy. The nuts and bolts of the Democratic Party, they supported slavery. They did everything they could to prevent slavery from being, you know, disorganized, from getting rid of slavery. They did. As a matter of fact, the Republican Party came into power 1 year before Lincoln became the president, and he ran as a Republican. And the Republican Party only started a year before that, and it was started in order to bring the republic back, to free the slaves, and to be in contrast to those people who are trying to turn us into a democracy. This goes back to the debates in the Federalist paper. The Federalists are the Democrats. The Federalists are the people who were arguing and debating against a lot of things that needed to be done. And they're the ones that kept slavery going back in that day. They're the ones that maintained and got in that black people were 3/5 of a person, okay? Our founding fathers knew it was going to take some time to fix this. And matter of fact, Lincoln spoke about this. He knew, he saw, and said he felt it was his job, that he was born for that purpose, to fix this problem, particularly with slavery, and to try to push back forward the republic. You know, so when you start a party and call it democracy, then you start talking about democratic process, and you talk about debating our rights because it's a democracy, changing things and turning things upside down because they claim it's a democracy. Well, they need to be removed from government. They need to be ultimately arrested, okay, because they're not guaranteeing a Republican form of government, and they're trying to overthrow the existing government, which is a republic, and is a very special republic because it's a natural law republic. It's the only natural law republic on the planet today. We did something, you know, kind of extreme, but it had to be done. And we gave a lot of thought to it, and we did it, and we indicted every federal judge. It didn't go anywhere, but it's on the record. They're all indicted. They need to go. They have closed the courts of justice. They're closed. You can't get in a court of record going into the courts. They fight you tooth and nail. And if they finally do give you a jury, it's a stacked jury. They stack the jury against you. And you have to try to turn that jury around to get them to actually vote a conscience, to actually rest on common sense, to think about saving this nation by doing the right thing. And that's what this paper is all about at this point, to go into the Supreme Court. You know, subversion against the United States of America is exactly what we're talking about and exactly what we're trying to bring before the court. And to get it in front of their faces when they know once it's been delivered to them, there's no excuse at that point. They know. And that puts them into jeopardy. Because if we do bring back this government and bring things to a certain point, they could be arrested. They could be, at the minimum, cast out of their authority as a Supreme Court justice. And these people know this, but it's got to be written. It's got to be in front of their face. It's got to be served upon them. It's got to be, you know, out there for the people to see. And the people got to get behind these things. You know, if you're on Facebook, talk about these things. Get our paperwork out there. Get our flyers out there. Get the papers we served, you know, on our front page. We got all the papers we originally served to the Supreme Court, and the doorkeeper sent it back. We're going to change that as soon as we get it. Right here, grand jury presentment to the U.S. Supreme Court, right on our front page. Read the presentment. Read the cover letter. Read the response letter from SCOTUS, the doorkeeper. Read our response letter to SCOTUS, the doorkeeper, we haven't sent that out yet. We're going to update that. Watch the video concerning the grand jury presentment to the United States Supreme Court. You know, everything is here for people to see, and they got to know, and then we have to start taking control and power. If we don't do that, again, the Constitution cannot defend itself. It's up to the people. Your Bill of Rights is in jeopardy. Our Constitution has been ripped to threads. People have no idea how bad it is. They really don't have a clue. They don't go into courts. They don't really see what's going into courts. You got a little picture of it, what they've done to Trump. They've been doing that to people like me and others for a long, long time. When you're a patriot and you get too powerful, and they got to shut you down, one of their tools is to use the courts against you. And you know, the people need to step up. We need to save this nation. So anyway, the same-sex marriage thing, it's ridiculous. And they should get a statue out there to control all these government agencies right down into the states, federal law, Trump's state law. And make the point that same-sex marriage is unlawful. Forget about it. It doesn't exist. You can't do it. Government shouldn't be doing that. Look, we're under natural law. Natural law comes from God. That puts Jesus Christ as the king of our courts. And we, the people that sit on as a jurist, okay, we are to represent the king of the court. Okay? And so therefore, we're supposed to bring morality. We're supposed to bring justice. We're supposed to bring common sense into the decisions of the court. We are to decide what the law is. We are to decide the facts. And we are to decide the penalty, if there be any. We're to decide all those things. They took all that away from us. We control nothing. The courts are totally out of control. And the people are asleep because they don't know it, because they're not educated. They don't know these things. It's a problem. Okay? But anyway, same-sex marriage, it brings us right down to biblical principles. God is completely clear, going to Genesis. There's only two sexes to begin with. Okay? That ends that conversation. And the marriage is something that God put in play. That ends that argument, too, between a man and a woman. Period. End of subject. Nothing else to talk about. Look, if people want to go and be homosexuals or whatever the case, that's their business. They go do that behind closed doors. The Bible talks about, the terrible things that happen behind closed doors. But that's up to that's their business. I really don't care what they do. I mean, I do. I pray for them, and I hope that they find the way and repent and whatever the case may be. But their business is their business when we're talking political. But don't come in and tell us what we have to do to get rid of our morality. But these judges, they're not stepping up, you know. We got Amy up.
The thing, John, I don't want to interrupt you. They gave the people a choice. They said either vote that it can be same-sex or not.
But
here's the thing. So it didn't turn out the way they wanted. So then they moved the goalposts, which further supports what we're all saying, that they're corrupt. Because they would have never gave the people the choice. They would have said, no, you can't. It would violate due process and equal protection, so you can't put that in your Constitution. But they allowed it to go.
It's got to be a statute. It shouldn't be in the Constitution. It needs to be in a statute. You know, we're at a place in time where that kind of thinking and the executing of that kind of things are happening, because we've become so demoralized as a people. We've become so demoralized as a nation. Our schools are demoralized. Our children are demoralized. Our representatives are demoralized. And all of us, to some degree, have been demoralized. And we have to wake up to these things. But, you know, let's take, you know, well, again, people can do something like that. But I think they should require a law. But if they can get it in the Constitution, I think that's not a good thing to do, maybe. But I don't know. I'd have to think that out some more before I really make that kind of point of view. But the thing is, though, is it is clear in the law itself anyway, because the ultimate law, when it gets down to, it's the Bible. That's the law of the land. It's called natural law. Natural law is we have the laws of nature and of nature's God. That's where it brings it to. It's already there in our law. You know, we, over in Connecticut, some years back, they did a referendum, and the people decided to get rid of sheriffs. They had no clue. There was no one to make the argument of the necessity of a sheriff. Well, you have to have a law enforcer, and the sheriff is the only law enforcer. It's part of common law. It's part of the process. You cannot get rid of the sheriff. It was all unlawful. I've spoken about doing a case for Connecticut concerning that. I just haven't had the time. But in any event, maybe one day soon, maybe I'll get to help them out with that and get a sheriff back, because it's a mess out there in Connecticut.
Okay, on that, I know pretty much what you're talking about. They actually, if you look at the Scalia case with Prince versus U.S., they really technically couldn't do it. It was a Magna Carta enshrined right to have the sheriffs. And
That's
the same thing California, that the judge said the people couldn't do because it takes away a right, but yet they did it in Connecticut.
Whoa, that's not true. That's a lie. Anyway, there is no right to same-sex marriage.
I agree with you, but I'm just saying that's what the judge, that's their argument that we can use against them. That's all I'm saying.
Right. Yeah, well, look, we need to get rid of the judges on the federal level, and I'll tell you what. My opinion, and again, it's a radical opinion. It will never be achieved, because you have to sell it to the people. Maybe if they get their common sense back, maybe, of course, I could sell it then. But right now, there's too much craziness out there. But every single judge without... I can't think of any judge that would fall outside of this category. They need to be removed from office. First of all, they're bar attorneys. They're taught that we're under civil law. Second of all, every single judge denies due process. Whether they know it or not, they deny due process. Because they've closed down our courts of justice. When you close down the courts of justice, there is no due process. Everything is statute. You can't win against a statute. You can't win against these things that they write up as law. You can't win against that. No, you have to bring in the natural law. And so every one of these judges, in my opinion, should be removed. The bar, the leadership of the bar should be in jail for subversion. Lawyers should be prevented from accessing our courts unless they give up their bar connection, their bar licenses. It's really a membership card. It's not a license. So they need to give up their membership card and leave the bar. They need to go back getting re-educated. They know the process, but they need to get re-educated in the natural law, which is simplicity because it's just common sense. Exercising of common sense with an eye on justice. That's all it is. That's all common law is. You make it up as you go. It's what's right. And it's very simple, very easy to concept to grab hold of.
Hey, John, can I say something?
Go right ahead.
What's happening is they're treating us, all the judges are treating us as corporations, as persons. And common law relies on men and women. You don't see any of those laws that they pass. They never have men or women in it. They always have persons, and persons is a legal term. And so they're treating us as persons, and we're acting as persons. We're doing it to ourselves, I think. Really. I mean, if you act like a person, if you act like a corporation, then and you react to the laws that they're passing and apply to corporations, and by golly, you're a corporation. That's my thought on the thing. You know, we have to act. If we want common law, we have to be men or women. Act like a man or woman. I'll yield there, but that's what's happening. They're doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing, and we're ignoring it, and we're buying into it. That's my thought.
Into that, you know, and again, we teach people when they write papers that it starts off with that one of the people of New York, okay, in my case, because I live in New York, but I'm one of the people of New York, you know, my name, one of the people of New York, in this court of record, sues, or whatever the case may be. Okay, that's the beginning of a case, and that sets forth the fact that you are one of the people. You're not a person. Yeah, if you go into to look to see what they write up, what the meaning of a person is, and it is a corporation. That particularly is in USC 26. I'm not sure. Is it any place else that you know about, John? I know it's in USP 26.
I'm not sure about that. Only thing I know is that, I mean, they know how to write laws. They know how to write their statutes that apply to men and women. I know in Michigan, you know, a marriage is defined as a union between a man and a woman. And they have it written in there. They have laws written about lewd behavior or something like that, and it specifies a man or a woman on the thing. But 99.9% of all these laws that they write are, if you look at them, they talk about a person. Driver's license is about a person. It's a corporation. It's a corpse.
John,
and we're acting as corpses. We're acting as persons, and they're ignoring us.
John, is that written in Michigan, you're saying? It's a state law?
There's a couple laws we found in there. There's a bunch of us that are studying that up there. There's a few laws that they wrote about that, yes, about men or women. They specifically say man or woman in the thing. Most of the time they say in persons.
Because we can use that state law anywhere, because the law is a law. And it could
I'll take it out. I'll see if I can find it. The bottom line is, John, and what was the guy's name from New Jersey is talking on here, is that if we're acting like corporations, we're acting like persons, we don't challenge them on everything. You have to go break back and hear, what is your name, okay? The corporate name, person name, is all caps. You know, I was born, and my birth certificate has upper lowercase, okay? Your first name is start with a capital letter, lowercase. And your middle name start with a capital letter, lowercase. Last name start with a capital letter, lowercase. And it's a synonym. And if they ask you in court, are you John Smith? Well, how do you spell that? You know, you spell it out. They're dealing with a mistaken identity.
But that's sovereign citizen stuff, John.
All about, and I don't think, some of that is goofy. Some of that is, I think, is right on. And you know, we can't just throw out the baby with the bathwater. That's my thought anyway on this thing. But, I mean, if what they're doing doesn't make any sense to us, I don't think it's unconstitutional. They're just treating us as a person. We got to act like men and women.
That's... Well, that. All right, back to you, Frank.
I'm sorry, yeah, I yield.
No, I appreciate what John says, and I don't want to go long because, but yeah, I understand all that stuff, and somebody says you got to do affidavits and declare yourself before you go into the courtroom, but like John is saying, we need the common law, and here's another example. I know this is going long, but this is very important. They say that Congress can make up the courts, but listen, if we have common law and natural law and it's right, it could never, ever, ever go away. They can make all the statutes and play all the games in their pond, in their court, in the pond that they swim in. They could do whatever they want, but they cannot remove the common law court because it's a right, a natural right, and they just can't do it.
Well, amen to that. And on top of that, if we had enough people involved in committees of safety, we've had enough committees of safety moving, and we work together, we can indict any judge to remove them from office. Okay, we can indict them for subversion against the United States of America because they've closed down courts of justice. Okay, then they're not guaranteeing to us a Republican form of government. You know, one person can't do this. You need people. United we stand, divided we fall. So people have to come together. They have to get educated. They have to agree on certain things that we need to do. We've started the work in the courts. We need the people behind us. You know, because if you're only a few people, they'll just swat you like a fly and you're gone, and they silence you, and nobody knows anything. So we need to really take care of business because the people are not doing it. They're not taking care of the business. So, all right, anything final? Because we've got to move on to another person here.
No, we're good. Let's get the other people on. Thank you, guys.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else wants to get into the queue? We got two other people in the queue, but anybody else wants to get into the queue, it's a *6-1 if you're on a phone. And if you're on an app or browser, there should be a button there. Okay, we'll take our next caller. It looks like, is that Damien? What's your first name and your state? You got the mic. Yeah, go ahead. Looks like your mic, well, you're open. Your mic is open unless you're muted on your side. You're on a headset, so it looks like Damien. What state you're from, and is that your first name? Last call for Damien.
John, I'm sorry if I activated. That's not, that wasn't my intention. Sorry.
All right, well, you got the mic. Go right ahead. You got a question, comment, or a correction to offer?
No, I do not. So, like I said, I'm sorry. My phone is doing weird stuff. Sorry, okay. My mistake.
All right. So we'll just take the next caller. We got one other caller in the queue. If anybody again wants to get into the queue, now's the time. Okay, so we'll move to the next person. It's a wireless caller. It's a 262 area code. You got the mic. What's your first name and your state? You got the mic. Last four digits, 0042. Wireless caller. All right, it doesn't look like they're there either. Anybody else got anything into the queue? *6-1 on the phone. If you're on an app or browser, should be a button. And if no one gets into the queue, I guess I'll find something to talk about.
You know, I can say something about the guys that just call and stuff like that. I mean, I think that we should get them. They're obviously wanting to do something, guys, women, whatever like that. If we get them into that other specific action call. I mean, here we're talking, it's a bitch session, actually, what we're working on right now. This is wrong and that's wrong, and we're preaching to the choir. But, I mean, we've got people that want to do stuff. Get them on that call, and like you're saying, we need money. We also need them to say, I can do this or I can do that. Get out of the way, let them do it. I mean, as I don't have time, and you don't have time, that's my thought on a thing. There's got to be a better way to spread the work out.
Yeah, well, I definitely agree. You know, if we get enough volunteers, everybody puts in a couple hours a week, we can get a lot of work done. But, you know, we do have a special meeting coming up this week. But that's a particular leadership meeting with people with other organizations. And, you know, we're going to discuss some ideas and strategy and talk about the Bar Association. We're going to be talking about really the problems in the courts, particularly by the Bar Association, and a few other topics. But we do need to get another meeting going just for people who want to come and talk to us about how they might be able to help us, or if they're looking to see what help we need, and maybe they can fill those kind of positions. We need to make a lot of calls. We have 190 committees of safety. One or two or three people is not enough. You know, unless they were, paid and were professional, well, then maybe we could do it with a handful of people. But we do need a lot of people in order to do it, and I have to train them, and it's not a big deal. You know, it's just laying out sort of a conversation, what needs to be talked about, what needs to be addressed, what needs to be offered, and an encouragement, and then working up with a follow-up. And that would take someone a couple hours a week, and we probably would need quite a few people putting in a couple of hours a week to reach the 190 different potential committees of safety that are out there. You know, they may not, I'm sure they're not all active. Some of them maybe haven't grown much at all. Some of them maybe just poo-pooed out, I don't know. But some of them, I'm sure, are active. And we need to find those active ones and try to get others to become active. So,
well, I know that I've talked to several people that have started committees of safety, and they've got the same problem most of us have. They got 3, 4, 5 people, and that's all they're getting on there, and half those people that they got are not doing anything. And right. Maybe what we have to do is say, okay, we got a committee of safety. What is our action plan? Unless you're doing something, you're just meeting and greeting and retreating, okay?
Right.
I don't know if it's carrying a sign someplace. What have we got to do? Hand out flyers as a group.
Those are the things that, the Tea Party was doing, and that was okay with them. We need to be different, okay? And in order to have a good committee of safety, they have to be encouraged, they have to be educated, they have to be led by the hand to some degree, to what way they got to go, what they got to learn, what they got to do. And that's what we need to be doing for them, you know, because what happens, though, is people fall asleep and they don't know what to do. They come together and they sit and they talk about all kinds of things, everything but what they need to be talking about. They need to address themselves as a committee. They need to focus and operate as a committee. Even though it may only be a handful of people, you start off as a committee. You know, if you're only a handful of people, then you just have the main committee. That's it. You don't necessarily have an education committee. You don't have a committee of correspondence, although the leader should be the committee of correspondence or the contact individual until you create a committee of correspondence. But, you know, there's lots of committees that need to be created. So my thinking and my teaching in this is that when you come together as a committee of safety, you just have the general committee of safety, and you open up in a particular way. We've written this all up in the book. Okay, you have to start off and address old business and see what people had done during a week and what was required and what they'd done, what they accomplished, what's the next step to do. And in my opinion, there are two things that the main committee has to do until you develop other committees. And the two things is, first of all, to approach the sheriff. Well, actually, you probably shouldn't approach the sheriff till you have maybe at least 20 people. But, you know, because you want to have that the sheriff come to address the group, and you don't want to be just 3 people there. So that's something that you need to do as soon as you get to maybe at least 20 people. The other thing is that you want to work as an education committee. You want to, you know, work that process out. and start visiting the different school board meetings. And we have a plan for that, how you can contact the individuals within a particular school district. You know, you can go down to a real property in your county, which is in the county building, and you get a list of every person that lives in a particular, you know, school district. And then you can get a permit so that you can send out these postcards relatively cheap. And you send them out to the people in that community, and you address the fact that that there is a school board meeting coming up, and it's going to be at a certain date, and we're having a preliminary meeting concerning the problems in the school, and it's going to be on a certain date, it's going to be at a certain place. Everybody's invited to come. We need to take the school back and get our children a proper education. Come, let's talk about it. So they will come to the meeting, a committee meeting. We're going to talk about what we're going to be doing, how we're going to approach it, and then we go back, and then we'll all head out to that school board meeting. And there'll be a lot of people at the school board meeting that may not have come to that meeting, but they're going to see the power and the authority and the process and the procedure and how we will remove those people right there. At the time of the meeting, we pay a sheriff to serve papers, have him come out, we have him in our back pocket, and remove them from power right there and then when they refuse to do the will of the people. There is a process for this, okay? People don't know that process. They don't even know that process. And they do whatever they want. They got power and they're abusing it, and the people don't know what to do. They get frustrated. They don't know what to do. We're trying to teach the people what to do. And you will walk away from that school district at the end of the day, you would have grown your committee many times over. Then you go to the next school district and you do the same thing in the next school district. Before you know it, you'll have hundreds of people in your committees of safety. That's the best way to develop a committee of safety. Okay? But you do have to start off in a few months working together. And the other thing is when you come to a committee of safety, everybody should be bringing a neighbor, a friend, a family member, somebody to bring them. Hey, come on to this meeting. Listen, there's really good stuff going on. And this, you know, sell the committee of safety to them. Get them to the meeting. You know, if you got five people at a committee of safety, the next week you should have 10 people. And the next week you should have 20 people. And the next week you should have 40 people, you know, theoretically speaking. Because everyone needs to bring somebody to that committee. They may not all stay, but if you got 40 people that came over a small period of time, maybe 20 will stay. And when you get 50 coming, maybe 25 or 30 will stay. Okay? But the people who have an investment in the community, particularly the parents and the grandparents, who are sick and tired what they're doing to our children, demoralizing them, they don't even know what sex they are. And that's how bad it is in our schools.
I'm not. You're preaching to the choir. I'm not disagreeing with that, but I'm sure a lot of people listening on this thing will say the same thing. You know, I mean, we've got this, and we've got four people, and then four people show up the next week. You know, so I've invited a lot of people, a lot of different things, and I've seen this going on for decades. I mean, I was involved years back with the John Birch Society, and I mean, it was the same thing, same fight back then. And it's discouraging because you see the same thing again and again and again. And that was the joke back then. Just eat, meet, and retreat, okay? So
well, that's why you have to come together with a purpose. And you have to come together in a proper organization as a committee. The committee has to start off in a proper way. We've laid all this out, and we didn't create it. It's the way committees work, you know? And you start off with the Pledge of Allegiance and a prayer. And then you sit down and you start the committee. You find out who's there. You take attendance. You pass the can around, or if you have dues, you know, whichever way the committee decides to do it, you know, you pass the can around, or you collect the dues. The secretary collects the dues, whatever it may be, a month, and it doesn't have to be much. It's just a few dollars. Eventually, you know, it will become more because you'll be doing things. But you start building sort of a pot so that you can. Go buy the things you need to do whatever it is you're doing, maybe flyers, you know, to get in paper and toner or whatever the case may be. But the committee has to start off in an organized way, okay? And the chairman has to actually start the process. And the first order of business is to take, let's deal with old business. What's left on the table? What was accomplished? What has to be done? Okay, and what are you going to do this week? You meet out the work. Then you go to the next process. Let's start new business. You got to run it as a committee, okay? And in the committee book, we have the details on how to do this. So it's not like it's – that's one of the problems I think we have is, again, people don't read books no more. You know, they tweet. I don't know. It's a sad situation. But we have handbooks. Like, it's not a lot. It's not a big book. I mean, we do have a big book. If you want to really learn what's going on, buy the book, Government by Consent. You can find that right under the welcome page right here. For those who are online, you can see this. You come to our welcome page, come down to Books by John Duresh, okay, and you buy the book, Government by Consent, okay? That's 550 pages. That's an education. That's everything you really need to know. I mean, there's more beyond that, but I mean, that is the crust of your education, the crutch of your education. So, and it's only $39.95. It's not $1 million. We don't make much money on that. Whatever profit comes through, it goes into NLA. I mean, I try to get some money out from time to time to help pay my bills, but it first goes to NLA to keep the bills of NLA up and open. It runs money to run NLA because of the website and the different costs that we have to work things out. You know, even to have this start meeting room, we pay for that, okay? That's one way to support us. That's one way to get totally educated, and it's a real book. But for people who really don't want to read a book for whatever reason, then you get the little handbooks, okay? And these little handbooks will, and you don't have to buy the handbooks, you know, cheap, and they're convenient maybe, but you don't have to buy them. You can, all these handbooks, the County Committee of Safety, Committeeman Handbook, the Committee of Safety Common Law Handbook, the Founding Documents of the United States Handbook, County Sheriff Common Law Handbook, Common Law Petit Jury Handbook, Common Law Handbook for the Grand Jury, and the Common Law Handbook. All those handbooks are downloadable. Right underneath Start a Committee of Safety, click on Handbooks and Videos, and you can download all those books in PDF. So you don't have to go buy them. They're only a few bucks, though, and it's convenient. You can stick them into your pocket, and it supports our work. We maybe make a buck a book on it. You know, it's not making a killing or anything, but it helps. Every dollar helps. Now, the handbook, Common Law Court Handbook, I wouldn't go into a court without that book because you can pull it. It's a couple of hundred pages, and you stick it in your pocket, and you can pull all kinds of information out of that book off the fly while you're in court. So anybody who goes into court should have that handbook. You can make all kinds of quotes, Supreme Court quotes, statutory quotes to control those people, regulations, if you're arguing something with people who are under regulations, and so on and so forth. So, you know, again, education is the key here.
Well, I agree with you. I agree with you. And I see people's frustrations because I hear the same thing more than once. That, you know, they're trying to get people in, and they have three or four people show up, and they don't bring anybody else, nobody else is coming, you invite people, they don't come, they get frustrated and they quit.
Well, one of the problems, John, on that is this is the problem. They start a committee of safety, but they don't go out and get educated. They don't come to the Monday night meetings. They should be at the Monday night meetings where they can be looking through these handbooks or looking through things or coming up with problems, say, hey, we came up with a problem. We're not sure which way to go. We'll try to give them advice. We'll do the best we can. I mean, we've got a lot of advice to give, okay? They could take it or leave it, but that's communications. That's structure. That's growth. That's participation. That's encouraging. That's motion. That's movement. You see, when we started National Liberty Alliance, and again, like I said before, even before National Liberty Alliance, because we had other groups going, but when we started, for instance, the committee man, and from that point forward, we knew that we had to be available at least once a week, that we had to have a meeting once a week and to keep people involved, to keep people to have a communication, to run an open forum. And we've been doing that for, goodness, I think 15 years, maybe 12 years, whatever it's been, I don't even remember. But we've been doing that. We haven't missed anything. You know, if you go out to our page here, let's see, let me get back up to the top. If you go out to our Monday night call, okay, and you click on that, and all of the meetings we've had is in MP3s. And for quite some time now, about 2 years now, we've been posting also videos up on Rumble, and we've been posting it up on YouTube. But if you look at this, and look at all these audios, all these MP3s that we've had, we have only missed a couple of weeks of not having a meeting. I remember one time we didn't have a meeting because I was knocked out by a thunderstorm. I remember a time when a holiday, Christmas, fell at a certain point and we didn't have a meeting, maybe Christmas Eve or Christmas Day or whatever the case may be. But other than that, we've been here every week because we knew if you're not talking, moving, doing something, then people fall asleep, they fall away, and that's it. And you don't go nowhere. Okay, so we have been working really hard. But all of those things I just scrolled through are all MP3s. And it goes back quite a ways. Okay?
So, yeah, I'm good friends with Darleaf up here in Michigan. And, I mean, you know, if anybody can get something done in a township, county, it'd be Darleaf. You know, and even then, you know, he's got a lot of popular support, and you'd think he'd have 100 people in his committee of safety helping him. Okay. You know, it just doesn't work out that way. It's frustrating. I understand people's frustration. You know, but I mean,
people don't want their constitution, I guess, because that's the end game on this. If they continue to ignore this and continue to think that other people are doing it, I don't have to do it. Trump will take care of this. Well, you're lying to yourself, and it's not true, because it's not. You're going to lose everything, and we're all going to suffer. Even those who are doing something, we're going to suffer because people refuse to make that movement. They refuse to do what needs to be done. But to finish my point, we started here in the 11th month, so that's November 19th, 2012. That was our first meeting here at National Liberty Alliance. And we've been, and actually we were, at that point, I think at that point, we were actually New York Liberty Alliance. And then we found people that were coming from out of state, from other places, so we moved to National Liberty Alliance. And before that, we were the New York committeemen, trying to take back the real committeeman process away from the bar-controlled, created committee.
Well, you know, it's like the state nationals. There's all kinds of people that are doing some version of this. The 10th Amendment Committee, the John Birch Society. There's lots of people involved in the thing. Everybody's got their own little slice of it, and they'll argue about the 5% they disagree with and ignore the 95% they agree with.
Well, united we stand, divided we fall. They can continue in that, but they still should get involved with committees of safety. If they don't want to get involved supporting National Liberty Alliance because they're supporting some other group, that's fine. We don't care. But they should get involved with the committees of safety. They have something to offer to them because they have somewhat of an education in some part of the process that's important for people to have.
The website is incredible. You could read that thing for 15 years and not see all of it. It's amazing what you put together on a thing. I mean, the work ethic you put into the thing is astounding. There's no doubt about that. What I'm trying to figure out is how to get more people invested into this thing.
Well, that's the difficult part, and hopefully
I know. And the enforcement part, you know, we put the paperwork into the Supreme Court, the President, the Congress, and you get no enforcement. You know,
what we're talking about is really huge, and we're not expecting them to do anything right now. There's other things that they need to do, but we're trying to educate them to things that need to be done as soon as they gain the main control, because they got to get rid of the subverts in our nation, you know, within our government. And once he gets to that point and cleans up a few other things, hopefully that we've educated them enough to realize that where they got to go. They know they got to deal something with the court. The problem is I don't know how much they really know about a common law, natural law. And you know what? We sent a lot of information on the Republic because they kept saying, calling us a democracy. Everything was a democracy. Even the United States Supreme Court, I've heard justices call us a democracy. It drives me crazy to hear them say that. They can't be that ignorant, are they? So anyway, no. They call us a democracy, and then you turn around We've given them a lot of information. We've sent them the book. We sent them a couple of books, as a matter of fact. We sent them Government by Consent, and that was a pretty expensive project. We got them all out. And then now, from time to time, we hear some people in his administration, instead of using the word democracy, they're using the word republic. Okay, so we must be breaking through the veil and opening the doors now to understand, you know, a common law. You know, there's that two women that run that program, Prometheus. I forget how to pronounce it specifically. I think it's Prometheus. And they're very good. They're very well educated. They understand what's going on. They give a lot of great reports, a couple of reports a week. And they're just amazing, these two women. But recently, my wife told me, she was listening, I got to go find it. And they didn't understand common law. They didn't understand it at all. And said, we're not under common law, okay? So that was an amazing thing that woman didn't understand that. I think it was Susan. She didn't understand that. I mean, here's a well-educated individual, understands the problem, understands the economic problems, the political problems, the judicial problems, how this whole country was really violated by these people going way back, and yet didn't understand natural law, common law. So I got to send her a book. Hopefully her eyes will be open, and that would be a major thing if her eyes are open and she starts pushing forward the natural law and dealing with the courts. But Trump is going to get rid of judges. I hope they get rid of all judges.
Just for you and for everybody else out there listening on this thing, how many of you know a judge? Talk to them. If you know them, him or her, talk to them and ask them what the heck is going on here. You know, we always say they should do this and they should do that, and these people aren't stupid. Sit down and talk to them. Sit down and talk to your sheriff. I mean, I talk to Dar, whenever I'm personal friends with him. I talk to him all the time and stuff like that, you know, and he talks about the elections and how the thing that Trump had on TV the other day, he was talking about the crooked elections, and then immediately the talking heads on whatever station it was got on and said, well, no, this is not the right, and this is not right. And, of course, the elections weren't rigged and stuff like that. And Dar, he has them right down. He can tell you exactly what computers they were in Michigan anyway. All the information is going to Serbia on election night. He's got them dead to rights on it. He's got it all in there. And he sent it to the president, too, and they understand that. I mean, these people are screwed. They're scared as hell. The
president's going to come down hard on that real soon. And
people are screwed and they're scared as hell, John, and we've got to do something about this. But, I mean, I want other people to know that other people know this stuff. It's education, but it's action. I'm not sure what the action is supposed to look like. You know, I'm not saying, hey, grab a gun and go shoot somebody. That's stupid. We don't do that, okay? And if it ever gets to that, we're in big trouble. But I'm not sure what to do. 250 years ago, they did.
Well, look, a lot of arrests need to be made because this is a conspiracy so deep and for so long, and it's really gotten very serious. And it is definitely subversion. It can easily be shown. And people that are subverting us are the very people that are in power in our government.
And they're using our money to do it. They're using our money to do it. We're fighting against ourselves with our own money.
Well, that's true. That's true, because they're taking our money and doing what they have to do. Hey, let me pull Ross into this, because he's the last one in the queue and came in a while ago. And let's see what he has to say. Ross, you got the mic. You got a question, comment, correction, or anything you want to participate in what we're talking or what?
Is he not answering it either?
Yeah, Ross, you got the mic. All right, well, we can continue talking, and I'll call Ross out from time to time. So where were we?
We don't know what the answer is. We don't know what our action plan is. And we're doing the same thing, and we're, you know, I mean, if you don't know where you're heading, any road will take you there, you know that?
Right. Well, again, it gets back to organizing, you know, and, you know, another project we'd love to do, it's a really huge project, and there's no way we could do it without huge amounts of money, and that is to, you know, come together with a couple of people who know the law, particularly the common law, Brent Allen Winters, for instance, him and I spoke about this, and we agreed on this, and we'll find other people. As a matter of fact, one of the people we're talking to right now, John, we'll be meeting with again this week and discussing things on the bar. He's another person who might be able to get involved with us. But what we want to do is write textbooks. You know, I've written 14 books or something like that. I don't even remember anymore. But I can turn that information into all kinds of textbooks at different levels. Brent is also an author. He's got lots of books he's written. He can turn a lot of his books into textbooks. We can make it, little pieces of information for the lower grades, literally from K on. And then as you get into the other grades, write some books, some textbooks that, you know, they can digest and understand. By the time they get into, you know, the higher grades, 8th grade, 9th grade, I mean, we can give them the real deep stuff, maybe even before that. Look at, you know, children, if you give them a proper education, really a proper education, okay, you have to get teachers who are able to give a proper education. So if you give them a proper education, by the time they're in 4th, 5th grade, they should be able to digest real deep stuff and get even deeper and deeper and really become great citizens, patriots here in America.
You know, but that was the only one room schoolhouse where you had 8 grades in there, and then the older kids would teach the younger kids what they knew, and then the younger kids tried to teach the younger ones. By the time you got to be in 8th grade, you were a teacher already, and that's what it really should be. You're not going to do it in public schools we got right now. It's insanity, and the inmates are running asylum in those public schools.
You know, homeschooling,
private schooling, parochial schools. I don't agree with all of them either, but I'm just saying you're not learning it in the public schools. It's a public fools system what we're working with there.
Well, we should think about that because, look, no one learns more than a good teacher. You know, the teacher learns more than the student because, they're going to get the most out of it because they're doing the research, they're putting it together, they're organizing it, deliver it, they're articulating it, and so on and so forth. And that's why that probably worked out very well in the small little schoolhouses where all the kids came together as one. And the teacher, I guess, would spend certain times with this level and certain times at that level and certain times with this level. Meanwhile, the other levels at the higher levels are teaching things that they've learned. And so that sounds like a good way to do something. Whether we can exercise and execute that in the schools, whether it's necessary, I don't think it's really necessary to go that level, but it's an interesting concept.
Well, you know, the Amish do it. You know, the Amish is a big, big community, and they do that. They go to 8th grade, okay? And they can all come out of 8th grade. They come out of 8th grade reading, and probably at more than a high school level. That's a sharp bunch of people over there. But that's how they do it, and it works. And it works years back in the rural areas and stuff like that. They had a one room schoolhouse, and the people organized themselves. They got their own teacher, and then if they wanted to go to high school, then the local one-room school district would send the kids to a central high school. I mean, that's what we had in Michigan here. You would have the central high school from whatever county it was, that was the central high school. And the lower schools could send their graduates that they wanted to go on to those schools. And that's when you went on to college and stuff. That's when college meant something. But, I mean, if you can't read, you're screwed. And most of these kids, they can't read anymore.
Yeah, that's a major problem. Look, here is an 8th grade test. It's the final exam in 1895, right, in Kansas.
I challenge any, I defy any college graduate to take that and pass it.
They can't.
I know it. But anyway, they do then.
You can find this underneath Education Starts Here. No, underneath Starter Committee of Safety. Come down to Handbooks, Videos, and Tools. And under COS Organizing Instructional in the PDF documents, you can find this paper. It's called the 8th Grade Test of 1895 in Kansas. Everybody should drop that down and take that test. See what kind of a score you can get on that. And you will find that a lot of this you're not going to be able to answer. But take that test and pursue the answer. Go out and research. Get the answer. Take the test. Get it done by going out researching the answers, and you will become far more educated than you are now.
If you could pass that test, you'd be a master's degree in college, and probably a lot more, because most of them, They don't know what they don't know. And all you're learning in eighth grade, up to eighth grade, if you're doing that, you're learning how to learn.
Right. And we send children to school. This is what they accomplish with just an eighth grade. Imagine if they went through a 12th grade education like we have today. And we do have that opportunity for a 12th grade education. Again, people graduating out of high school should have a college education from that 12th, by the time they hit that 12th grade and above. The only thing they would need to really go to a higher education for, like a college or something, is to get their doctrine in a very specific thing, maybe to become a doctor, maybe to become this or that, an engineer, whatever, you know, the very specific focus of whatever it is they want to get their doctrine in. Let me unmute Ed. Ed, let me just click him open. Ed, you got the mic if you want to pipe in or say something. Go right ahead, Ed, from Arizona.
I'd like to pipe in. I have attended a one-room schoolhouse, and I have experienced getting a sixth and seventh grade education when I was in the fifth grade. And then the sixth and seventh grade, I was not in this one-room schoolhouse, but my teachers thought I was a real smart guy because I already knew everything.
Yeah. And you did. You did.
Education. Amen. Again, we need to teach children how to think, not what to think. We need to teach them history and so on, you know, geography, but we need to teach them how to think. And we have to, it all starts with getting the proper teachers, too. We have to properly educate the people, I mean the teachers. You know, to become a teacher, I guess you should have some kind of a degree in college, I presume. I really don't know how that works. But whatever the case may be, you know, if we can ever get to these books, to write these books, these textbooks for school, we should be able to come together and write a textbook for teachers to teach them how to teach.
Well, in the Amish community, mostly it's an eighth grade. Somebody's got an eighth grade education that was smart enough to do that. Then they teach it. They move it on to the younger kids. Okay, and you don't have to be a real older person to teach in the Amish schools. There's no regulations. There's no government regulations. It's for the kids, for the Amish parents.
Yeah, but that's a close-knit community, like
you said. That's a close-knit community, and we used to be.
Yeah, that's a whole different thing. We, you know, you come into the cities, and even you're coming into the different towns, and even the villages. I mean, it's not close knit even there. You know, I live in the village, and it's not close knit at all.
Ed, you're in Arizona. What? How many years ago were you in a one room schoolhouse?
That's for you, Ed.
Yeah, well, that's been quite a number of years. Been about 90 years, no, 80 years.
Well, you weren't alive in 1895, but you were aware of it probably back then. So, no, it's my Uncle Tom. He graduated from eighth grade when he was 12 years old, and when he was 23, he hired on with the White Motor Corporation as an engineer. He taught himself when he knew how to read and he was smart, and he hired on as an engineer.
Well, that is the key. People should be able to self-educate themselves. Once they get a good basic education, whether they've got that on their own or through schools. But, yeah, proper education should bring a person to the point where they could educate themselves and get the level of a doctrine in whatever it is that they're pursuing, like an engineer, and they can self-educate themselves.
And if you can see that what's on the screen right now with that 1895 test, take it. Obviously, you've been there already. See if you can take that test and see how you do on it. I know I would fail it, and I'm not stupid. It would be really interesting, and everybody's on this line, everyone on the call. Look at that. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
And it's only one page.
Yeah.
Let's see. One page, yeah. It covers grammar. It covers arithmetic. History, what's that, orthography of alphabets, phonics, and things of that nature, and geography.
But, you know, you had to know how to write, because you had to write out a paper on the thing, too. You had to describe something, and it's told you specifically how to do it and what terms to use and stuff. It's amazing. It's amazing, and that's what they had to learn back then, and they did. And and they still can. We still can. If we had a whole bunch of people like that, we'd have no problem at all right now.
Well, I'll comment again. We have people in our national Supreme Court that don't know what a woman is.
Exactly. But you know, that's funny, but it's not funny.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty sad. Well, again, look at those. Those three need to go. There's three of them up there that need to go. They don't even. They probably never even read the Constitution. They're certainly not upholding it at all. They're always on the opposite position. They look into the world instead of into who we are as a people, because we are a unique people, and we're losing that uniqueness. We are a people, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We are a people that are under the laws of nature and of nature's God. We are a people that have natural law that no people on earth have at all. We have a Bill of Rights second to none. And we have so much here, so much richness, and yet the people don't even realize what they have.
Well, you know, the Bill of Rights, that's the tip of the iceberg kind of thing. And Ninth Amendment says that, you know, and there's a lot more than that, and we've got them all. We've got them all.
That brings us to common sense, doesn't it?
You know, in Northwest Territories, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, not Ohio, but Indiana, they're guaranteed the common law as part of the Northwest Territories, okay, and I'm sure it spreads to the other states too. We're not utilizing half the power we got, and we've got to act like free men and free women, or we're going to lose it.
Well, the only way they're going to activate any of that is by taking control of them, and the only way they take control of them is by organizing, and the only way we can properly organize is through committees of safety. It always gets back to the same thing. Our primary purpose here is committees of safety, and through those committees of safety, take our government back and get our courts back. That is the whole focus.
Well, I mean, that's what they did 250 or 280 years ago, but all of those people were not all of them could read, okay? And they're probably back in the same thing we are now, but they had a lot of really, really, really smart people. I mean, if you took eighth graders, like from 1895, and you sent them on to college, what you'd end up with is somebody like a Jefferson and a Madison that could read and write in Latin and French and English. I mean, those guys were incredible, and they carried on conversations. All of the really intelligent people back then spoke back and forth in Latin. They could go any country they wanted to, and they spoke back and forth in Latin. Try to do that now.
Yeah. I'm printing this out right now. I'm going to give it to my daughter, ask her if she's interested in working it. But I'm going to do it myself because I never took the test myself. I did go through it. It's way over my head, a lot of this stuff. Some of it in the math I'm pretty good with. I'm going to try to find time to take this test, look up the meanings of these words, look up processes of, you know, go and learn. Find places.
Look at the one they have about the grain. It said, you know, you had so much, you had to plant grain, and you got your inputs, and then you got the harvest was coming out of there, and they talked about that. And this was back in 1895, and the wagon that they loaded this stuff into was metric, okay? And you got so much per bushel, so you had to be able to convert from metric to standard, from standard cubic feet to bushels. And they got so much a bushel, and they wanted to know how much money they made on the thing. And it was a story problem, like a story problem. I said, holy smokes. And a lot of these kids nowadays, they look at that thing, and they look at you like, what the heck? But that was, they knew that back then, and they worked the land. They knew exactly what they were talking about.
And look at the history questions. Give the epoch into which the U.S. history is divided. Give an account of the discovery of America by Columbus. Relate the causes and the results of the Revolutionary War. Show the territorial growth of the United States. Tell what you can of history of Kansas. Describe three of the most prominent battles of the rebellion. Who were the following: Morse, Whitney, Fulton, Bell, Lincoln, Penn, and Howe? Name the events connected with the following dates: 1607, 1620, 1800, 1849, and 1865. That's history.
Yeah.
And you have 45 minutes to do that.
Yeah, and then without a computer, without a phone.
Yeah.
And take that test. John, give it to your daughter. Let her take it. Everybody else get on this line. Look at that thing. And that'll give us something. Next week we can call them and talk about that.
Yeah, maybe.
Did you look at it? Did you take it?
I need time to really do my studying on this myself, because I can't answer most of this stuff. I might be able to answer a lot of the mathematical ones, because that's my one of my fortes. So, but I'm sure there are things in here on arithmetic that I might not be able to answer.
Right, 1607. What was 1607? What happened then? Jamestown, right? That was Jamestown. 1620 was what?
I have no clue.
I think that was when the Pilgrims first came in there, okay? 1849, that was the Mexican War. 1865, that was the end of the Civil War.
Right.
You know what I mean? But, I mean, we should know this stuff. And they
did. We should know that, too. You know, here, I've never even heard this word before, and the pronunciation here.
Orthography.
Orthography, which is a method of representing the sounds of a language by written or printed symbols, the study of spelling, okay? The questions there are huge, too. What are the elementary sounds? How are they classified? What are the following? And give examples of each. Trigonometry, sub, vocals, I'm not sure how to even pronounce some of these words. Let's see what this word is. Wrong one. Let's see. Okay, that is pronounced as...
diphthong.
Diphthong.
Diphthong, yeah.
The vowel sound that starts near the articulatory position for one vowel and one vowel and moves towards the position for another. I mean, this is a college education if there ever was one. You know?
Well, among other things I do, I'm a singer, and it's really interesting when you do the sounds, because a lot of people don't realize that when you're singing, you only sing vowel sounds. You don't sing any consonants. And
yes.
and the diphthongs and stuff like that, that's the accent you put on everything. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I'm just saying if we all read that, and we have, you don't have to understand it, just read it and understand what the questions are. You have a lot more education than most high school seniors or most college people already.
Yeah, I think one time in the near future, maybe within the month hopefully, maybe we should come and just talk about this. And I'm going to try to find time to start doing some research into these answers to understand the meanings of some of these words that I don't even understand, you know?
Well, somebody like Ed that went to I'm bragging on you here. You went to a one-room school, okay? And probably not one person out of 1,000 has ever went to a one-room school now, or maybe 10,000. But think of the things you did back then. Like you're saying, when you were in fifth grade, you already knew seventh grade stuff. When you were in seventh grade, you already knew stuff that the other kids knew, and it was almost like a competition, but it was fun. And they were having fun in school. They had recreation. You were doing all those different things. But you were learning, and you were learning important things that you used in life every day. And this stuff that's on that test is stuff that we can use every day. It's stuff that we can learn how to make communities of safety with, for crying out loud. If we knew that,
mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to look at things from just a little bit different perspective and say, you know, lead, follow, or get the heck out of the way here. That's what they did back then, that's for sure.
Yeah, you were talking about the students being teachers. That I did a bit of that myself. In the fifth grade.
Yeah. And you taught probably the second graders. They would ask you questions, didn't they?
Well, I was, I don't know, mathematics was a thing that I understood very well. I got the algebra award from high school, so I had a little bit of experience. So I was helping the teacher teach them arithmetic back in the fifth grade.
The bottom line is, I stopped talking martial arts too.
They all started at 8 o'clock morning, and they had a lunch break and a recess morning and afternoon, and they stayed till 4:30 in the afternoon. And they went for a long period of time without a spring break, a fall break, and a whatever break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is. Listen to these questions in geography. Of what use are rivers? Of what use is the ocean? How do you account for the extremes of climate in Kansas? Of course they're in Kansas, so they're going to focus in on that, of course. And name and locate the principal trade centers of the United States. Name all the republics of Europe and give a capital of each.
Mm.
What is the Atlantic coast colder than the Pacific in the same latitude. You know, I definitely got to try to spend some time with this. I've been aware of this for a long time, but I never really tried to work the test out. But I'm going to try to work this test out. And everyone should do the same. Try to work through some of these things. And maybe one day within the next month we can come together and talk about these things. I think it would be fascinating.
I think you'd have a lot of people listening to stuff if we'd start talking about that.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too. Even if we took one at a time, you know, take geography or take history, just one at a time, you know? All right, look at
Ed, you're in charge of that. No, that's how it works, okay? You're in sixth grade, I'm a fifth grader, okay? Think of it in terms of that.
I think I'm going to be rebroadcasting this particular Monday night at my next COS.
There you go. And John, that's a brilliant. That was a brilliant insight right there.
Well, yeah. If we can get our COS leaders, you know, the committees of correspondence, at least, you know, which would be at least one person from a committee of safety, potentially more, to come to our Monday night meetings, you know, they can glean a lot of good stuff and information to assist them in many, and they can ask questions and we can answer those questions. And if we can't answer the questions, we'll find the answer and we'll give it to them next week, you know. But with that, I think it's time to close down. Final point anybody wants to make? If not, we're closing down.
Nobody's as smart as everybody. How's that sound?
I guess so.
I look forward to talking to you guys next week, okay?
All righty.
Thanks, all right. Guys.
Yeah. Good night, everybody. Good night. We'll see you next Monday. You got anything to say before we go, Ed, or we're done?
Good night.
I love it. Thank you.
All right. Love. We'll see you all next Monday. Good night, everybody. Thanks for coming. And get the word out. Let's get working here.